This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. What next for the DeKalb County school system now that a federal judge has given Governor Nathan Deal a clear path to removing six members of the DeKalb County School Board, although the board also has been given a day in court with the state Supreme Court? Mark Ilgard is CEO of Advance Ed, which is the parent firm of the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, the accrediting agency for DeKalb County, which is now on accredited probation. Mark Ilgard, welcome back. Good to have you.
Good to be here, Dennis.
Quick question to start with. Does it matter to you whether the six members of the Board of Education are suspended or not in terms of what DeKalb has to do to get off of probation?
No, our expectations for the system remain the same. Regardless who's serving on the board or who's leading the system as superintendent, there are needed improvements that must be done in short order.
Do you, though, think it'll be easier without those six?
Potentially. A fresh start can always be advantageous if the right people are selected by the governor and they have the right perspective and skill set to govern the system effectively. It certainly could be a positive attribute.
Because the Sachs report, as you know, was a centerpiece of the State Board of Education hearing that led to the recommendation that the governor remove those six members. Among some of the supporters of the school board, there's the feeling that Sachs really does care and had a stake in having those board members removed.
Well, we care about the system. Most importantly, we care about the system's ability to help students succeed. I mean, we have three fundamental concerns with the system. First, can they demonstrate the capacity to improve student achievement, something they haven't done in nearly 10 years? Second, can they also demonstrate the ability to make decisions within their financial means? I mean, their financial management over the past few years has been highly questionable, leaving the system with little or no resources to move forward. And third, do they have the ability to be led by an effective governing body and administrative team? Those three fundamental needs must be addressed in a timely order.
But as far as the last one you mentioned, being led by an effective team, the question has come up, isn't that up to the voters? Whatever one thinks of the current board, shouldn't it be a real last resort before another elected official removes somebody? And the Sachs report was a main reason why the governor moved the way he did.
I think the needs of students should be paramount here. I'm not going to debate the merits of the electoral process, but this is a school system who is entrusted to its care 100,000 students. That must be paramount in everybody's decisions. And as adults leading the system, we must put students first in each and every action we take and every decision we make.
What's your impression so far of the job that the interim superintendent, Michael Thurman, has done?
Well, he certainly has come upon the system with a great deal of passion and vision for moving DeKalb forward. He doesn't have the experience necessarily in an educational setting, but he certainly has leadership experience. It's our hope that he will be able to move this system in fundamentally different directions than they have been the last several years.
Have you had a chance to talk to him?
Yes, I have.
If you can, what's been the substance of those discussions, and have you come away with the feeling that he can move the district in a different direction?
Well, the discussions have been very positive. I think Mr. Thurman is beginning to understand the complexity of the problems that DeKalb is facing. They weren't created overnight, and they won't be solved overnight. He understands directly from me that over time, we hope that he will be able to achieve results that have yet to be achieved in the last several years. He asked me directly, do I have confidence in him? And my response, quite frankly, was no. Confidence comes with results. And until he achieves those results in his leadership, there is no confidence. However, there is faith and hope that he is the right person to lead them at this time.
One of the critiques that came up during not only the State Board of Education hearing, but the court hearing, and it dealt with the report that Sachs issued back in December, came from Bob Wilson, the attorney for the DeKalb board. He said his clients really didn't have a chance to confront their accusers in the report, that there weren't adequate notes or records of the investigation, and so it was hard to say who was making some of the accusations. How do you respond to that, and is there any chance that some of that could come forward?
with all due respect to Mr. Wilson, I don't think he's fully aware of how the process unfolds. First, DeKalb County, the board, and superintendent provided us with all the records and evidence prior to the evaluation. They were responsible to provide us all that information. It came directly from them. They are fully aware of what they provided us. Secondly, they identified the people that we interviewed. They created the schedule upon which we interviewed. There was 36 staff members, 9 board members, and 6 community representatives. They selected them. It was their witnesses. Third, the testimony of the witnesses was not a determinant in our outcomes. The evidence, the written evidence, emails, minutes of board meetings, policies, videos of board meetings, forensic audits, other audits, documentation were the determinants. The people who were interviewed gave us a context, gave us an understanding of how did this all happen, and from your role and responsibility, how were you directly involved? It really matters less about who said what. In the end, when we presented this to the DeKalb County Board of Education, to their senior staff, not one person disputed the outcome, the findings. They may have argued over some of the narrative, but they didn't dispute the required actions, the 11 that we outlined, and the actions that we recommended going forward. And it's an important note here, Dennis. The system, even at that point in time when we presented to them first before it went to public, they had the opportunity to appeal our decision. And in appealing our decision, they had the opportunity to have all of that evidence that they provided and all of the witnesses that they provided to engage them in a discussion. They chose not to. They had a 30-day period to appeal our decision before it ever went to the state board. They chose not to. And I don't believe that the public or even Mr. Wilson understands they had an opportunity for due process. They had an opportunity to do exactly what Mr. Wilson is criticizing us of not providing. They were given that opportunity, and they chose not to pursue it.
I want to clarify this just for a second. You're saying even the 6 members who are suspended and some of whom are saying they will now appeal, even they did not appeal your findings at the time they came down. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. We presented that. And remember, our appeal process is different than the court system, but all of our institutions, they can appeal any adverse action that we take. And they had a right to appeal within a 30-day period. That was back in December before they ever went to the state board. The entire board was aware of this, as well as the administration. They chose not to because they did agree the areas that we identified as needing improvement needs improvement.
Let me jump ahead for a moment. Some of the members, and Dr. Eugene Walker, the former board chair, is one of those who has said he might fight this. Would these board members' appeals or attempts to keep their jobs, would that affect the accreditation probation for DeKalb County? I think anyone could understand someone wanting to keep their job. So if they go ahead with that, is that going to have a damaging effect on DeKalb's bid to get off probation?
It's our hope that it does not. And the manner in which it does not, it's important. Right now, Superintendent Thurman, the remaining board members, and whoever is newly installed as board members have to understand that today what the system needs has to go forward regardless of the legal process happening outside of the system. Because as we all know, this morning, students showed up at school, teachers are teaching, principals are leading. It is fundamentally, incredibly important that today, moving forward, that Mr. Thurman, his staff, and the Board of Education, whoever they are, focus on the needs of students, regardless of what's happening in the courts. Certainly the 6 board members have a right to the legal recourses available to them. But that process must not disrupt the day-to-day work of this system to improve and the day-to-day responsibility of this system to meet the needs of students.
Just as a hypothetical, if any one of them were to get their jobs back, would that affect SACS's probation evaluation of DeKalb?
No. Our view of the system is regardless of who is sitting on the Board of Education, we hold the board as a unit responsible for demonstrating effective governance. And as I mentioned earlier, that's one of the 3 primary areas of concern, along with student achievement and fiscal responsibility. So it doesn't matter to us who's sitting in the seat, but can you as a unit demonstrate effective governance And can you refocus the system from the adults to the kids where it should be?
Has DeKalb's student achievement really fallen off that much? Certainly that may sound like kind of an odd question because you want achievement to get better. But according to some of the testimony we heard during all of this, while achievement hasn't exactly moved ahead, it's stayed relatively flat. So were the board's governance issues really affecting achievement all that much, or was it really just more of an administrative nightmare?
Well, it's a great question. First and foremost, the board and the administration have a responsibility to set direction for the system. And one of our required actions is there is no direction for the system. There are no expectations for all of the stakeholders in the system, from the student to the parent to the teacher to the principal. And there's been a failure of this for a number of years. And our better performing systems, our effective systems, provide that direction. Secondly, one of our requirements for accreditation is continuous improvement. And we look for, are you improving student achievement over time? So remaining stagnant or remaining flat doesn't meet one of the essential requirements for accreditation, which is you must improve student achievement. It's not progress. And over a 10-year period, given all the resources that this system has, it's the third largest system in Georgia and one of the 40th largest systems in the country, that's unacceptable. They must improve student achievement over time. They should improve it over time. They lack the direction. They have the resources, and it needs to happen in a very short time period. We understand that this is over a 10-year period that this has evolved, but what we expect in the next 3 to 5 years is a demonstrative record of starting to improve and sustain higher levels of student achievement.
Some of the supporters of the board have said, okay, well, there are lots of other districts around the country where performance has been stagnant too. Is DeKalb a special case and why?
No. I mean, yes, there are other systems and they have their issues, and what the general public doesn't know is a lot of our expectations of those systems are the same as DeKalb, and we have required actions for them to improve. But what those systems don't have, which makes it more complicated, is a dysfunctional governing structure at the top. And so DeKalb is unique in that it has that added component. But most of our adverse actions in accreditation have to do with student achievement. This is a rare case. We had 1,000 schools and systems evaluated in the fall of 2012 throughout the entire country. Only one school system had a governance issue that was dysfunctional into the degree of what we're facing here, and that is DeKalb County. All the rest, most of the accreditation concerns were on student achievement, and we have identified areas for improvement, and we'll expect those schools and systems to achieve that improvement over time, just as we do in DeKalb County.
So what's the next step for DeKalb from your end?
From our end, we believe that they must rapidly formulate and engage in a plan to move forward to address the areas that we have noted for them. They hopefully will have a newly installed board that can help facilitate that work, but regardless of how long that takes, they do have an interim superintendent and administrative team that can execute actions that can move this system forward. Not all the required actions are focused on governance. There are several that are focused on student achievement and the use of resources to meet the needs of students. Those don't require board action. They require the talents and skills of the educational staff to carry them out. So we're expecting progress to be able to start to move forward in a way that we can recognize that progress in May. We return in May. We don't expect completion by May, but we expect the signs of progress. Then by December, we expect a more substantial body of evidence that they're making progress. And as I said earlier, we really expect this to be about a 3 to 5 year period. They may come off probation if they make progress in December, but we'll be very engaged in the system over the next 3 to 5 years to ensure that any progress they make has a lasting positive impact on students.
You identify one of the problems, which is you want to move forward quickly, but you don't want to rush and appoint board members just to meet a deadline when you might not appoint the right people if you rush.
Correct. It's better to make the right decision than try to do it within an artificial timeline.
Mark Elgard is the CEO of Advance Ed, the parent firm of the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. Mark Elgard, thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis. Have a good day.